Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
The second part of a four-part series we're calling Small Things, Big Difference. It's little things that have a major impact. It's little things that can change things. And if you missed last week, we talked about the reality that sometimes when we look at somebody else's life, when we look at their situations, look at the things that God has done in their life, and it seems like they have it all together. They've accomplished something that seems so far out of our reach. They're good at something, and we don't even know what we have to do to even begin to get that good. And sometimes we're just incredibly intimidated by all that and think, I can't do those big things. I don't even know what's stopping me from doing those big things. And then we zeroed in on a single thought that is really running through this entire series. It's very, very important. It's often not the big things. It's often the little things, the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And we unpacked a little bit, and we started to unpack a little bit the fact that some of those little words and thoughts and actions can have such a major impact. That's why I quoted that little video clip during the offering. And everybody was ready for those kids to get blasted by their big dad. And he could have easily done that. But it's the thoughts, it's the words, the actions that change things all around. And that's what God's grace is all about. When people are slinging mud, God's grace is there. So important to embrace this truth. It's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And so last Sunday we zeroed in on one of those small things. And I asked you to be prayerfully thinking about one small word, a word that could drive the direction for you this fall. And we talked about some words that come out of Mark's first couple of chapters of Mark. You know, words like prepare, amazed, forgiven, stand up, stretch out, healed, growing, calmed, or words like faith, believe, focus, healing, trust, discernment, generosity, serving. And how many sense God giving them a word for this fall? Good. That's wonderful. For the rest of you, I have a word for you. The word is procrastination. No, I'm just going to assume that you weren't here last Sunday. But be asking God, you know, what's that word? You know, so somebody sent me an email note this week. You know, somebody I sense God giving me this word, and I kept saying, God, no, that's not the word I want. But then as the week went along, she kept finding God pointing out that word. And started to grow in that. And that's what God is going to do. Small things make a big difference. And so we're going to be talking over the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about our thoughts this morning. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about our words. And then as we wrap it up, we're going to talk about our habits, or our actions, and how they all make a big difference. But we have to embrace the truth that our thoughts matter so much because our thoughts influence our words. And our words influence our actions and our habits, and the end that defines the direction of our lives. Solomon in Proverbs 23 said, as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. As a person thinks in their heart, so they are. We could put it in a more, reword that a little bit. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. In other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think things are going to go bad in a certain situation, that probably is going to happen. If you think you have nothing to offer, you're probably not going to make a difference in anyone's life. But on the other hand, if you think you can, then you start to pour energy into that, and you probably will. If you believe there are opportunities out there, you're going to see those opportunities. If you believe that God is for you and with you, you're going to sense His power and His presence because our thoughts matter. as a person thinks in their heart, so he or she becomes. Your life begins to move in the direction of those thoughts. And so I want to begin today with what I want to call a thought audit. I want you to think about what you think about. So we're going to think about the things that you and I think about. So I want you to reflect back on this last week. And there's a little chart. There it is. So you got worried on the one side and peaceful on the other. Negative thoughts, positive thoughts, worldly and eternal. It's there in your bulletin. You may want to pull that out. So we're going to start by looking at worried thoughts. Don't circle a number yet. I just want to unpack this a little bit. Ask yourself, are most of my thoughts more kind of focused on worry about things, or are they more peaceful? And then we're going to circle a number that will tell you where you are. Then we'll look at negative thoughts or positive thoughts. Are you mostly negative, or are you more positive? Are you more world-focused? The things of this world, are you more God-focused or eternally focused? I want you to think about what you think about. So let's start with the first row. And before you circle a number, let me unpack this a little bit for you. Would you say you're more on the worried side? Maybe you're worried about your kids. You know, think back at this last week. You're more worried about your kids, or worried about your job, or maybe worried about the health of somebody, or you're worried about your money because your credit card bill came this week, and you say, what was I thinking when I spent that? Maybe your cat ran away from home, and you're worried it's going to come back. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is in your life, but you find yourself worried. And so look at that scale. On the other hand, maybe you're incredibly peaceful. You're secure in the promises of God. That doesn't mean there's not stuff going on in your life, but there's just this supernatural peace that goes beyond anyone's ability to understand. You can kind of bathe in this peaceful presence of God. And even when bad stuff happens and hard stuff happens, you kind of just believe and trust and know that God is in charge. And it doesn't freak you out. So where would you fall on that scale? Go ahead. Circle a number that determines where you fall on that scale of 1 to 10. Let's think about negative or positive. Think about what you think about. Some of you have the spiritual gift of negativity, right? You can spot negative stuff a mile away. You see all the negative stuff before you see any positive stuff. You're easily critical of people. You assume the worst at all times, and you can be very discontented. Some of you are thinking, if only I could be married, I'd be happy. And then you get married, and you think, if only I had kids, I'd be happy. And you have kids. If only I had different kids, I would be happy. And so some of you find yourself more on the negative side, or maybe you're more on the positive side. Think about what you think about. You tend to believe the best about people. And when you walk into a group of people that you know very well, rather than picking apart, you say, wow, God's at work in this place. I see what's going on. You may be having a really difficult day, a hard day, but you believe that God is good and that He's for you. And He's going to work in all things to bring about good. And so you lean more to the positive side. So circle a number that lays out where you lie on that positive-negative scale. And let's talk about worldly eternal. Do you find your thoughts are more consumed about the things of this life? You're thinking about what's the next vehicle you're going to buy, or you're thinking of what shirt you're going to buy to match the hat you bought on sale, or whatever it is. What are people going to think about me when I say this, when I do this, when I drive this, when I go here, when I go there? Do they like my selfies? Do they like my Instagram posts? What do people think about me? And you find yourself thinking about not bad stuff, but worldly stuff, the stuff around us, rather than eternal things. You wake up in the morning wondering, how can God use my life this week to bring glory to Him? You think about people who are maybe far from God, and your heart aches for them. And you think, what can I do to show them God's love and God's grace and God's mercy? You have some things, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you start thinking, how can I leverage the things that I have? to make a difference in people's lives and to impact people with the love of God. So you think more about on the worldly side or on the eternal side? And so go ahead and circle that number that corresponds with where you are. So you should have three different numbers, okay? Three numbers. And if you did not circle a 10, a 10, and a 10, then guess what? This message is for you. This message is completely and absolutely for you. Why? Because our thoughts determine who we become. Our thoughts, our life always moves in the direction of our strongest thought. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. And if you're consumed with worldly thoughts and with worried thoughts and with negative thoughts, we tend to be moving in that direction. But on the other hand, if we're focused on peaceful thoughts and positive thoughts and eternal thoughts, we begin to move in that direction. And Bob, probably most of us didn't put a 10, 10, 10 down on a piece of paper. Because in our culture, in our world, our friends, and what we see drives us to the other side. There's things that cry out in our lives. You know, worry about me. Be negative about this. Think about what doesn't last. You know, think about this stuff. That's one of the reasons that God gives us His Word. He speaks truth into our lives. And so the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, Romans 12:2, he says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." By doing what? What's it say? By changing the way you think. You become a new person by changing the way you think. Don't miss the power of this. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn what God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Or the NIV puts it this way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, His pleasing, His perfect will. Or the Message puts it this way. Don't become so well adjusted to culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. You become like your greatest thoughts. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so we need to ask the question, so how do I change my thoughts? What do we do with that? And I want to draw out a couple of passages of Scripture that reflect on how we change our thinking. If you're taking notes in your bulletin, write this down. We're going to learn to capture destructive thoughts. If you're consumed with worried thoughts and negative thoughts, or earthly or worldly thoughts, we're going to capture those destructive thoughts. And that's what Paul taught us to do in 2 Corinthians 10. He said this to the Corinthian church, who unfortunately were believing a ton of lies. And Paul writes to them, he says, "Though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does." And if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's incredibly good news. We don't wage war the same way that our world wages war. You don't throw bombs at one another, whether they're verbal or literal bombs. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world, because we've got supernatural, totally different weapons that we use. He says, on the contrary, the weapons, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Greek word for power here is the word dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. It's the explosive power of God to demolish, to destroy, to do away with strongholds. And the Greek word that we translate as strongholds is the word okaroma. It means very literally a prisoner locked up by deception. You know, think of an old time castle with a dungeon down at about the third level of the basement, and there you're chained up, you're locked up there. That's what an okarima is. That's what a stronghold is. You're locked up by wrong and by false thoughts, and those things are controlling you, and they can only be broken by the power of God, by the dunamis of God. Think about this. What is our spiritual enemy's greatest weapon? Satan. What's he called? He's called the father of lies. The father of lies. And he constantly bombards us with lies. And what he tries to do is he tries to convince us of things that aren't true in our thought processes and tries to get us to build our lives on those lies rather than on the truth. Because when we know the truth, Jesus said in John 8:32, when you know the truth, if we continue in his word and we're his disciples. You know, you've got to get the whole context there. Then we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. It's not abstract truth, but it's truth that's rooted in who Jesus is. It's truth that's rooted in the fact that he's a Savior, that he's a Redeemer, that he's the one who breaks the power that the evil one has. And then in verse 5, we're back to 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We destroy those things. And what do we do? What's Paul says? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know, just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean it's from God. I don't care how good a Christian you are, how many years you've walked for Jesus. Just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean it's a thought from God. Because we have an enemy. Father of lies. Who comes disguised as an angel of light. Tries to twist. He takes good truth and he twists it. You've been reading the Gospels with us. You know the account where Jesus faces the temptations in the wilderness. What's Satan do? He quotes scripture at Jesus. But he puts a little twist on it, or he doesn't quote the whole passage. We need to understand and know God's word, know what he is saying. We demolish the lies. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So when we think about the wrong things, you know, you hear those voices running through your mind. I can't make a difference. I'm no good. I'm a screw up. I'll never amount to anything. No. All of those thoughts that we let run wild in our minds, we take those thoughts captive and we make them obedient to Christ. And we need to learn to discern between truth and trash. When your mind says you're a screw up, God can never use you, you're in trouble. No. Yeah, you may have messed up. And if you haven't messed up, then you're believing a lie because you have messed up at some point. But the good news is that God works in all things to bring about his good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's going to use this hard stuff, this difficult stuff, this dark stuff. He's going to use it to transform me, to conform me, to make me more and more like Jesus. I can never overcome this. I've been addicted to this for so long. I've tried and I've prayed and I can never. No, that's trash. That's a lie that comes from the pit of hell. The truth is that God can work in the midst of whatever. So we take the truths, take the thoughts that are untrue, we capture them and we bring them to Jesus. We capture the destructive thoughts and Paul says we make them obedient to Christ. So Paul says, we capture the wrong thoughts. And the second thing he says we're to do is we fix our thoughts on spiritual things. So we focus on the God stuff, on the big picture, on the good, on the spiritual things. Paul here in Philippians 4 is writing from prison. And don't miss this. He's in jail. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Says, I want you to think about all the crummy stuff in your life. I want you to think about all the stuff that's horrible. I want you to think about all the garbage that's happened to you. I want you to think about all the stuff that keeps happening over and over and over again in your life. I want you to think about that junk that hurts so much. Keep at the forefront of your life everything that's not going well. You know, allow the worry, the negative thoughts, and the disappointments to rise to the surface. Does Paul say that? No. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, and what is honorable, and what is right, and what is pure, and what is lovely and what is admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then it says in verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. Fix your thoughts. Focus your thoughts on what's true and right and noble. Think about the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Think about these things. Keep putting these things into practice. Keep putting into practice these things. That's why we call things like prayer and reading scripture spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. They're simple things. We immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We allow ourselves to talk to and to hear from God in prayer. We practice those things. We keep putting them in practice. And that's how we're able to capture those thoughts. That's how we're able to fix our thoughts on that which is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. I love theology. But most people know more theology than they practice. We need to consciously live out the truths that God lays before us. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise, Paul says. Fix, focus your thoughts. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so we capture the lies and recognize what's a lie from hell and what's God's truth. And we focus our thoughts on what is true. And we focus our thoughts on things that are spiritual. You know, some of you are one thought away from having your life totally transformed when you stop believing the lies of the evil one and start embracing the truth of our good God Father. You know, we sang a song this morning that we've sung an awful lot over the last number of months here at OCC. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. And if you left with no other thoughts running through your mind and you played that every day this week, that would transform how you view yourself and would transform how you view people around you. Because when you know the truth sets you free. If you're a follower of Christ and you see, you can see God working when you look for it. You always can find what you're looking for. You always see those things that are obvious before us. Take the difference between a vulture and a hummingbird. What's a vulture do? A vulture or a buzzard, you know, they fly around looking for what? They look around looking for carrion. Looking for dead things. Dead squirrel, jackpot, yeah, roadkill, yes! You know, that's what a vulture is looking for. What's a hummingbird looking for? Hummingbird's looking for nectar. Hummingbird's looking for sweet things. And every day, as you and I go about our lives, there are dead things to be found. And there are sweet things to be found. You'll always find what you're looking for. If you look for spiritual things, you will find those things of God. You ever notice when you buy something, you suddenly start noticing it everywhere? You know, you get a new vehicle, for example, and suddenly every third vehicle on the road is the same model as yours. You buy a scarf, and suddenly everybody you see is wearing a scarf. When you look for spiritual things, you'll see them everywhere. How do we begin that focus? Let me give you a simple model, and it's really, really simple. When you wake up in the morning, set the tone for your day. Every day, instead of picking up your phone and opening up your Facebook or your Instagram or your Twitter account or whatever, did I get a like? Did somebody respond to me? Open up your Bible or open up a Bible app and allow God's Word to shape you, to permeate. You know, that's why we're reading the Gospels this fall. Allowing God's truth to shape us. The story of what Jesus did, and what Jesus said, and what Jesus speaks about us. And your mind starts to drift towards spiritual things. And then begin to pray. First thing in the morning, start to pray. If you have to go to the bathroom first, okay, go to the bathroom. But pray. And it doesn't have to be an hour-long prayer. It can be, but it can be a two-minute prayer. You know, it could be a prayer that's something simple. God, thank you for this day. I know it's a gift from you, and I want to give it back to you. Use me however you want. Help me to be sensitive to you, to the voice of your Spirit. God, help me see where you're working. Guide my words. Guide my thoughts. Create my actions to bring glory to you. God, I give you permission to interrupt me throughout the day. Help me to see where you're working. Help me to be obedient in joining you. You pray. You pray a prayer like that, and guess what? You're going to see nectar. You're going to see good things. You're going to see places where God is at work. You're on your way to work, or you're on your way to the gym, and rather than listening to just regular music, you're listening to some worship music, or you've pulled up Pastor Mike's favorite sermon, and it begins to renew your mind. And then something good begins to happen. Instead of going, wow, dang, that was lucky, you're saying, God is so good. I didn't deserve that. But God is at work. I can't believe, Lord, that you've blessed me in that way. And you begin to see God everywhere you are. And when your boss chews you out, and instead of wanting to flip out on your boss, you're thinking, I wonder how I can pray for my boss. I wonder what they're going through. How can I make a difference in their life? How can I pray for them? And suddenly you're going to see someone's in need, and you're thinking, I don't have time for this. God, maybe you're calling me to make a difference in their life. And then when God uses you, that forward spiritual momentum makes you more sensitive to where He wants you to use you next. And suddenly, you've got power in your trash or truth. And when your mind says something that's untrue, that's trash. I'm going to focus on what's truth. It's going to transform my life. And you keep going back to those truths that you know about who you are in Christ. Because as a person thinks, so they become. Our lives will always move in the direction of those dominant thoughts. Therefore, I'll demolish the lies. And I'll take every thought captive. And I'll make it obedient to Christ. And I'll fix my thoughts on things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, I'll think about those things. So, last Sunday, I challenged you to think about and pray about one word that would direct you to this fall. And if you haven't done that, let me encourage you. Think about that this week and see if God's going to show you a word that begins to shape your life. And this week, I want you to prayerfully seek God, not just for one word, but for one thought. What's a truth, Lord, that you want to just build into my life? One small thought that can result in a bigger change than I could ever imagine. Because often, it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. One thought that you'll think over and over again until your mind is renewed. And the thought becomes truth in your heart. And it changes the words you speak. And it changes your habits and the actions that you live out. If you want to change the way you live, you need to change the way we think. And I don't know what that thought's going to be for you. Maybe your word has been selfless. You know, less of me, less of me and more of Him. Less of me, more of Him. And you just allow that truth to resonate. Or maybe your word is generous. And so you start to think, you know, and reflect on the truth. I'm a generous person. Maybe you're not there yet. You start thinking, I'm a generous person because I truly believe it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you start focusing on that, and God shows you ways that you can give. And most of those ways are probably not going to be financial. They may be financial, but probably it's more likely going to be time or energy or coming alongside. You may be discouraged, and you're reminded yourself that God's strength is more than sufficient. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by God's Spirit. I don't know what it's going to be for you. Reflect on that and allow God's truth to come out. And it may come out as you're reading through Mark's Gospel this week. We're starting in Mark 11 on Monday. Let me encourage you to do that. And let God's truth permeate your thinking. Because if you want to change your life, you start with changing the way that you think. Because your thoughts give rise to your words. And your words create your habits and your actions. And that creates a direction for your life. As a person thinks in their heart, so they become. Therefore, as Paul says, we do not copy the customs, the behaviors of this world, but we let God transform us by changing what? Changing the way that we think. Because we don't fight with the weapons of this world. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we take captive every thought. And we make it obedient to Christ because we fix our thoughts on that which is pure and admirable, and that which is excellent and worthy of praise. We think about those things. And the peace of God is with us and begins to shape us and begins to empower us, because as we think in our hearts, so we become. It's so easy to listen then to the voice of the evil ones, but that's just a little thought. We know the truth, and it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big differences that everyone wants. And therefore, we think about that which is true, and we capture that which is trash, and we let our thoughts bring glory to God, because when we think on the truth, we know that God's truth will set us free. Let's pray. Father, we pray today that in your presence, that you would begin to renew our minds with the truth. And Father, I pray that everyone here, that you would just be speaking to them and giving them a thought very simply, clearly, very directly that may shape their thinking for the rest of this year. I thank you, God, that we can hear from you. And that your Spirit can direct us in things like this. Even things that seem small. Thank you that when our minds are fixed on you, that you begin to conform us to the image of your Son. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak to everyone here. And that you allow those specific thoughts to change our words. And therefore change our actions and creating new habits that ultimately would change our direction. Give us the power to recognize when we're believing the lies of the evil one, to capture those lies, to make them obedient to Christ, to focus on the one truth that you put in our minds, and let that truth change us to become who you want us to become. So we'll glorify you with a focused thought life, thinking on that which is pleasing to you. And what's happening right now, I believe, is as we're praying, is that some of you are feeling drawn to God. There's something that's drawing you to Him, and you don't know what it is. And you're thinking, Mike, I'm not even a follower of God. But that's the power of God's Holy Spirit that's drawing you towards Him, wanting to show you the love of God. Maybe there's a voice somewhere in the back of your mind that says, "This is stupid. I'm not good enough. I've done so many bad things. I'd like to do this, but there's so many things I need to do in order to get right so I can come to God. I need to try harder. I need to be more religious." Let me tell you what. Those things are all lies. Jesus says, "Come exactly as you are." He says, "I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in." He simply wants you to invite Him in. And as you invite Him in, He helps you to turn from the sin, from the messes, from the stuff, and to turn towards Him. And He says, "I'll hear your prayer, and I'll forgive your sin, and I'll make you brand new. And the old is gone, and you become a new person in Christ. And He'll fill you with His Spirit, so you'll never be the same. And He'll transform you and make you new." If that's you, and then you'll know it. You can sense it. That's why I'm here. I don't want to live for me and my sin. I want to turn from it and turn towards Him. And by faith today, I surrender my life to the Lordship of Christ. Why don't you just, in the quietness of your heart, pray along with me. Father, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me and you rose again so I could live for you. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you, love you, follow you, live for you. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.